Hello, this is Robert Smigel with Europe's Podcast, the podcast for entrepreneurs throughout the European Union who are here to tell their stories so we can learn more about how they got to where they are now. Today, we are with Annika Di Valera from Zagreb, Croatia. She's the founder of the How Could She podcast. In her podcast, Annika discusses with her exceptional guests timeless topics with current relevance. Listeners will have the chance to meet strong, successful women, mothers, abuse survivors, international legal experts, psychologists, journalists, actors, philosophers, and many, many more. This is a long and powerful list. Every week is new and different, and every week is fresh with women that have made a big difference throughout the world. Annika, welcome to the inaugural Europe's podcast interview. Glad you can join us today and share your story. Thank you for being with us today and taking your time for all our listeners.
Thank you very much. And thank you so very much for inviting me. It's such a pleasure. Thank you.
Great. Okay, let's just get right into this and let's talk about a little bit more about yourself. I've kind of done a bit of intro on your podcast, but you've got some other areas that you're in marketing, obviously, and you run your business with that. So why don't you just kind of fill in some of the blanks that we didn't cover with the podcast and other things that you do?
Yeah, so I started everything. Everything started eventually a couple of years ago when I just personally went through a horrible legal battle, which was quite personal. It was a horrible divorce procedure connected to the care and custody to my minor children. And that precisely started in 2016, 2017, and it was just ongoing. And during the process, I just understood that, wow, this is like so massive and system as such does not work. And everything what I knew until back then was not enough as a person, as a human, as a mother, as a citizen of any country in European Union, so to say. So eventually that was the start or amazing journey of that who I am right now and of that who I'm about to become and my business as such. So I was forced to learn a lot about the system in European Union as such, about the legal system, and eventually I just learned how to protect not just myself but also my two minor children. And out of that I started then also my podcast, because I have been exposed enormously through media. I mean, not just that I've been exposed, I've been abused of the media as such. I've been very, very quiet over a couple of years. You know, when you're attacked, you just do not react on that, what is attacking you, just try to survive. But the moment that I've been exposed to media, or eventually I've been abused by media, started everything in 2017, and it took me a couple of years to first and foremost to survive and figure out where I'm standing, and then to take the stand for myself. And that was eventually somewhere about 2021, and that's when I eventually stepped out, had the power to talk about my experiences, and eventually to offer the help to those who went through similar, worst, and so on. So that's where I started to communicate my experiences, and eventually to where I started my podcast, because I have not been given the space to talk. When you're abused by media, it's very difficult, right? The media can be extremely cruel, and then they take side, of course, of their colleagues and so on. And then you simply have to find yourself and your space. And podcast was an amazing a space to start with. And I just found it very difficult, first and foremost, to start talking about experiences that I have had. But then eventually, when I have seen the success which I got through it. I just got encouraged, and those were the beginnings. I hope this has answered your question. Yeah.
What were the mechanics of starting a podcast? There's a little bit of money involved and obviously time, energy to do that. Yes. Did you start it on your own? Did you have a mentor? Did you just kind of hit the ground running? What was your kind of process to... Well, money-wise,
I really wanted to do it professional, and I still believe that I have done it professional, though I was like total, you know, beginner. But I have certainly seek for advice. First and foremost, I seek for the legal advice. And that was like, what can I talk about? You know, there was like some personal experiences. There were my children involved. There were so many things which are like of such a sensible nature. And then you first and foremost have to understand what are you allowed to talk about and what are you not allowed to talk about, not in order to get attacked again. That's the first thing. The second thing is that to know how to talk. And there was a great friend of mine. She's a very famous Croatian actress, and she really helped me during the whole process with all of those scripts and getting the, you know, all of those thoughts together at one piece of a paper. So that was extremely important. So first and foremost, so as I said, there was a legal aspect. And the second thing was this, how to gather all of those thoughts together and to bring it over. And the third mechanism, which was extremely important, was the post-production. And I was just so lucky to find the guys in Zagreb who were so like, you know, futuristic, who already had a podcast studio and so on, and who were like, you know what, we're going to help you, we're going to support you, and here we are. So yes, I just needed to invest a lot of my time, a lot of my energy, and of course a lot of my emotions, because you know, when you go into such a journey, you talk about experiences which are extremely also painful, you know, those are things which are extremely personal, and you're talking to unknown public out there. So you have somehow to align with yourself and with your emotions. But eventually when you start and when the process goes smooth and when you see that there is some success behind it, then it's well. But I would say that when I started it, I have imagined it much easier than it was. But eventually, because I have had this enormous support behind me of those people that I have mentioned, it then just started being a fun, and it was a success, because I could also, you know, I could also measure numbers. I could measure those people who will, I just had those data behind it, you know, and to me it was fascinating to see that somebody from Tokyo was listening to my story, and somebody from Perth in Australia, and somebody from Hawaii and Los Angeles and anywhere in Europe was literally listening to my story. And just that fact was like, wow, this is really, really great.
Good, which segues nicely into my next question. Yes. What is a long-term vision that you have in place for your podcast? What will your company look like in the future? Do you see the company expanding into other areas or topics, and where beyond Europe or globally?
Well, at the moment, it is already way beyond Europe and globally. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have never have imagined, as I said, that somebody from Japan or from Hawaii or I don't know, somewhere in Mexico would be really genuinely interested in my story. And all of those people then also have reached out to me or via my homepage or social media and so on. And many of them also wanted to have my advice and or opinion on certain things, because they have listened to my story and they have had experience similar, or they have had experience something similar and or in their past. And just by having that, I mean, I think that it is already on that global level, and of course that I would love to expand that, and of course and by expanding it means that, you know, having other guests and just talking about the topic more and more, because I do not think that we talk enough about the human rights. I do not think that we talk about enough about the female rights. I do not think that we talk about our rights in general enough, because just if I take myself into consideration, you know, a couple of years ago, I was not aware at all about my rights. And eventually, everything what have happened to me was because I was not aware of my rights, which has led me then into everything what I did after that.
And other people can learn as well. Other people can learn as well from what your story, right?
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, it's just like we need to raise this awareness, and it's not just as awareness as such. It's just that, like, I think sometimes it's much easier when you hear the story of someone and you can identify yourself through it. It's somehow easier. You know, you feel like, wow, if that happened to her, it's okay also if it happened to me. You understand? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the momentum, which is just where you can identify yourself. You don't feel judged. You don't feel bad. You just feel, even doesn't matter how bad it is, you just feel encouraged. And you're like, you know what? It's okay. If she made it, I can make it. If she survived, I can survive. And you just pick it up from there. So that's the reason why I have started my podcast. I have not started it in order to become famous or in order to make the business as such. What I wanted, it was to raise a genuine awareness. Right. And I think I have managed it. And I think I have to work more on that. That, you know, whatever we do out of the genuine space, whatever we do, and which is like totally aligned with our authenticity, I think it can be good. Okay. And that's exactly what I did. And that's exactly what I named this podcast, How Could She? Because everything related to me and to my name was like, how could she do this? How could she do that? How could she? It was all in the media. How could she? How could she? And nobody ever asked, like, wow, how could that woman eventually survive?
Right.
And, you know, and then there was I answering through my podcast all of those questions. How could I? And eventually relating to other women. How could they? How could she? And here we are right now.
Good. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the country where you live and work.
Yes.
And let's learn a little bit about that. And what are the most significant benefits for you and being an entrepreneur in Croatia? And give us some of the good points about starting a company there, but also give us some of the tricky things or challenges that you had so our listeners can keep an eye out for them.
So, like, the good thing is that what I'm doing in Croatia, it's really somehow not existing yet. So in Croatia is, I really love my country, and I'm very proud of everything what we have achieved in the last couple of decades. But like mentally and culturally, there are still so many things, like we are 50, 60, 100 years beyond Europe in some aspects. And it does not belong, you know. One thing is that you are there and you do your thing. But another thing is that you step out and you talk publicly, authentically, and as mentioned, genuinely about certain things that have happened to you. There's just like that momentum in the culture where they're like, oh, how could she do that? And that's the first thing. And the second thing is like that what I'm doing right now, there's still some podcasts and so on which are ongoing, but I you know, we are still not there to that. People are not listening to podcasts as, for instance, people do that in Germany, Sweden, Finland, France, England, Canada, and so on. And they will come there. It's just that cultural momentum. I still find it so funny. It's, for instance, people in Croatia, they listen to music over YouTube. Any song over YouTube, but that's what they do, and I just find it fascinating. So therefore, I think, like, okay, give them 5 to 10 years, and they're gonna be there, and there is literally nothing judgmental in it. It's just like how it is. So that's the first thing that I think that I'm like doing something which is not ahead of time. I would definitely not consider myself doing something like that, but I'm just like, what the hell is she doing? You know, who is listening to that? But therefore, I'm doing my podcast in English language, and my target group is unfortunately not Croatia. My target group is everything else than Croatia, because people in Croatia, for instance, I know that they have built their opinion about me. I know that they have read all those media articles about me, which were like so horrible and like definitely not truthful. And, you know, and they're like right now, oh my God, what is this woman doing? And now she was in the press, I don't know, 5 years ago, however it is. I think that's exactly the positive side of that, what I'm doing in Croatia, that I'm doing something opposite of that, what they're expecting me to do. So I'm challenging the whole situation, and I am, you know, putting the truth out there, and everybody's just shocked. And just that momentum is already something big. And opposite side of everything is that, you know, Croatia is a small country. We are always going towards the West, and we were always aiming to go toward everything what the rest of European Union has done or the Western world. But in order to do that, you have to be mentally and emotionally prepared for that. You know, it's just not enough that you have a thought and you're like, oh, you're not, I'm going to do it right now. And it is really, really difficult, because there is still that, I feel that patriarchal moment. And if you as a woman come and if you have an idea and you want to do something, there's like a lot, oh, what's her plan? What's her agenda? So I as a woman do not feel enough seen and encouraged and supported in Balkans as I, for instance, would be in the rest of the Europe. So there is that huge cultural momentum, which is just somehow taking the space. And I think it's going to take decades maybe to overcome it. And maybe that will never happen. And you know what? If it should never happen, then it's also fine. But it just, there is that gap. She's a woman and she's doing something. And I think if the man would be in my position and would be doing the same things and would have had the same experiences as I have had, there would be a huge difference. Or he would be in a plus and I would definitely be at this there where I am right now, and that means in a minus.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about morning routines and what gets you motivated to start your day and how you kind of set the tone for your day. What does the first hour look like for you when you get up in the morning? Do you have a specific routine or a ritual to help you get motivated to start your day?
Yes. I think my biggest motivation every day are my children. You know, I fall asleep with the thought about them, like, what have they done? Da, 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 da. And my first thought in the morning is, what have they, you know, what's the plan? What do they need to do? Da, 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 da. So definitely my children are my biggest driver. And that's something, you know, doesn't matter how tired I am, how exhausted I am, how happy I am, how not exhausted I am. You know, it's always the same thing. They just need the care and the love and that attention, and I'm eventually there to give it to them. And as a parent, I think every parent, caring parent, can eventually relate to that. So that is my motivator. And my routine means that, you know, I wake up every morning around 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:15 max. And by 7, I'm like running the whole system. That means I have got up, I drank my coffee. That's the first thing that I do. You know, before I sort of mold my thoughts, I got my coffee. And then I'm just like, okay, now I can get all my ducks in a row and let's go. But it's just, you know, it's just getting life running. And yeah, there is nothing exceptional or special about it. It's just like everything should function, and I'm in charge of it. So let's do it. But before that, let's get my coffee.
Okay. Entrepreneurs are big readers. They like to learn. What are you reading, and why are even audiobooks? And can you recommend any books for our listeners who are also entrepreneurs?
Yes, I love to read. I'm a big fan, and I also try to give that to my children. I like to have books in a physical form, like real books in my hand. And I have a lot of books in my home. I'm not a fan of audiobooks. And I think it's important to have it in your hand and to make some marks. And even the smell of the book can be sometimes quite nice. I read a couple of books at the same time. I just like, you know, I make pause here and then I continue there. But there is one book that I really, which I read it right now, maybe for this is, I think this is my fifth time that I'm reading it. And I can really, really recommend it. And that is a book of a German philosopher, Richard Precht. And the name of the book is in German, Wer bin ich? Und wenn, wie viel, which means translated into English, who am I, and if so, how much? And it is such a deep book. It is something, like every time I read it as I open it. I never read it before. No, it's just like some new book that I just opened right now. And it is about understanding who are we, where are we coming from, and where are we going? And that's my favorite book, and that's the book that I'm reading at the moment. And I'm just trying really to understand who are we and how much, if so at all. So I do really recommend it. And Richard David Precht, he's a modern German philosopher. He does even has his own podcast. And to that one, for instance, I listen very, very often. And he's quite challenging. He's trying to challenge the whole situation which we are living and so on and so on. And for instance, that's also something that he's doing with his books. And that's one that I do recommend and I do read at the moment.
Okay. In business, what is your favorite word, quote, or sentence that you like to use? Anything that you find yourself saying kind of in a business sense that you like? Is it go-to?
There is just like, let's go, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay. Just like, whatever, let's do it. Let's execute.
Okay.
I don't like to hang on something. Like if I feel something is right, if the situation, an idea, you know, if I feel that it's good, it makes sense. Let's go. Let's do it.
Okay, good. What is your least favorite word or sentence you do not like to hear in business?
It's not possible. No, or no, in general, like no, an answer, no, it's not acceptable. My system can't work with no. Like, okay. It's not possible or no. It's something that I like, oh my God. I think that everything is possible. And I think that if we want to do something, if we want to achieve it, we can do it. No
exactly.
doubt.
Yeah.
So, you know, so no is not accept. I can't live with it. I'm sorry.
I like to say we'll find a way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We are going to find a way and we are going to execute it. That's it.
Okay. Do you have any advice that you may have received from other entrepreneurs that you can pass on to European entrepreneurs?
Absolutely. I have received many good advices. I would not have been here where I am today without my mentors and without all of those smart, extremely experienced people who have held my back last years. But one of the most important was just to listen to my intuition. Listen to yourself. Listen to your heart, literally. Ask yourself, is this really what you want? And after you have answered that question to yourself, doesn't matter what the answer is, do it. Okay, there we are again. Just do it. Doesn't matter what it is. Okay, but ask yourself, is this right for me? Do I want this? And the second that you have that answer for yourself, despite even if it's despite all odds, and so, you know, do it. You're going to find a way. Because I really, really believe in that if we want something, or even if we do not want something, you know, it's going to be fine. You just have to follow yourself and your path, and opinion of someone else, it's very important. But at the end of the day, it's our life. It's our path that we have to go. And therefore, ask yourself, what do you want? And is it good for you? And if you are tuned with it, and if the answer is yes or no, do it.
Good. Okay, we're going to wrap things up here, Annika. How can our listeners get hold of you? And is there anything you'd like to add before you leave us today?
Well, nowadays we are all on social media, right?
Do you have a Twitter hold or a...
Yes, I do have a Twitter on which I'm not very active, but I'm about to be found at Instagram, for instance. Annika De Villera Official is out there, and there is my homepage. I mean, everybody can listen to my podcast on Spotify or any other podcast platform, but Instagram is a great way to reach out to me, to get in touch with me. If any sort of advice needed, I'm always there to share it, to share my experiences, or to be supportive, that's for sure. And what I maybe would like to say as a closure to this interview is that I think it's very, very important not, you know, what I've experienced was very tough. And I think I learned through my experiences not to be judgmental, not to make some abrupt decisions. You know, we always sometimes need to take our time. We always sometimes need to think about that, what we are supposed to do, about to say, even what we are about to think. You know, just take your time. Ask yourself, if I do this, am I going to create any value through that? And if you're not going to create any value to yourself or to anyone else through it, then, you know, just hold the thought, hold the action, hold that word that you have had. Because I think we as humans, we can do such amazing things. And we are here to create value or to add value to something. And if you can't do that, you know, sometimes it's just best to do nothing. So, you know, just let's keep it easy going. Let's think about we do or say something. And if we do it, or if we say it, and even if we think it, it should be right. Not just for us, but also for our surrounding.
Okay, some powerful words there for our listeners. Excellent.
Some philosophy.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, that's why I encourage everyone, if you want to learn more, you can always go How Can She podcast. And I'm sure there's some great interviews there, and learn more about Annika and her guests. And so, okay, Annika, thanks for coming on the show. I've learned a lot about you, and I'm sure our listeners have as well. And good. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time, hopefully on Canada's podcast.
Thank you very much. It would be my pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you, Robert.